and welcome to Mental Health Insights. My name is Craig, and I am here with Nicole and Pete today. So this is actually a time-relevant topic. We're going to be talking a little bit about why the holidays are so stressful, and not only why are they stressful, but how we manage that stress, like we as therapists. So we're going to explore some of the kind of psychological aspects of it, and then what we do, kind of knowing what we know, to try to manage that, and hopefully that will also be helpful for you during this time of the year. So I want to kind of ask both of you guys, even just while I have you here, even whenever you kind of think of this time of the year, is it kind of like a positive thought for you guys, or is it negative? Kind of give me an idea what it's like for you guys when you think about this time of the year.
It's always a mix for me. I look forward to family time. I look forward to some of the things that go on. And I also struggle with just the amount of things there are to do. It gets complicated trying to coordinate and balance schedules between all of the different families, all of the tasks, everything that we want to get done, in addition to, you know, regular work and home responsibilities that inevitably come up.
I bet you're the only one that gets stressed about that.
Yeah, right.
How about for you, Nicole?
I too feel like it's a mixed piece. One is, you know, the family of origin, you know, how you grew up, and then kind of your own family. You know, my husband and I have been married a long time, so we have our children and our mm-hmm. grandchildren now. So it's kind of neat to look at what are some traditions from his family and mine as you think about getting married and blending your families, or people are divorced, and so you have a lot of homes that you have to visit, and then your friends, and it's just so many components. I get the piece with being overwhelmed, but it's kind of hard to navigate through that and kind of find what would make you happy and what would still appease other people without disappointing anyone. I think that's the balance that we're all looking for.
See, it's so strange. We were talking a little bit about this even before we started recording. For me, I'm just blissfully unaware of all this stuff, and I get surprised every year by it. and my wife is so different than me, and her family is so different. And sometimes my family is so different in that people worry about it ahead of time, and I'm always like, whatever, like, it's just always been like that for us. So I've been, I think that I've been kind of desensitized to it in such a way, or maybe my brain is like, just don't even worry about it until it gets close, and then it's like, crap, we do have a lot of people's house to go to. Man, this is a busy time of the year. Man, this is just stuff, and it's cold outside. So.
And you have to pack the baby and all the items.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And
everybody
I think that's wants why you call it blissfully unaware, because there's a bliss right before the wave hits, right?
Well, like, even whenever I think about it, so, you know, this is recorded, what, like 3 weeks before Christmas or somewhere in that time frame, mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to Christmas. Right. And then as we get closer to it, then, like, all of a sudden the logistics of everything sets in.
Yeah.
All the places we got to go to, the places we got to be at, and then, oh, we got to haul gifts places and different things like that. All of a sudden they become more of a reality. And like I said, my wife and I are very different. She worries about this weeks to months ahead of time, right? And she's asking me questions about it, and I'm just like, it's not a big deal, right? Then as we get closer to it, it's like a surprise every year, right? It's like, oh, crap, all this stuff to do. It sounds like you guys are kind of maybe a little more aware in that sense, like, oh, we can kind of feel it coming on.
We have strategies in our family. Do you? What would be some of the how you adapt to that?
Well, within our family, I think what we've learned over the years, my wife and I, is we first try and figure out what it is that works best for us. We start with what we want and what we need and kind of work outward from there. And then we figure out where we can compromise and still have enough energy left over to, you know, not be completely drained and worn out, at least from the energetic piece. I think I've been doing this stuff for so long that I'm not as worried about the expectations of other people as I used to be.
That's maybe something that we should talk about.
Yeah, the expectations.
That's
a big deal. I hear that a lot from my clients. That's the biggest challenge, because there's financial expectations of how much I'm supposed to spend on certain people, how much I have to spend in order to look like I really care or I love somebody enough.
Isn't it nice whenever you get in situations where people set up, like, this is the price limit on things?
Yeah.
Except you always get people that go over.
There's almost always somebody that goes over.
But I like what you said. The parameter is a huge component of that, like setting limits, you know, talking about that.
The expectation.
Yeah.
Well, like, and not only that, like, you're talking about, like, that's the only one you got to so far is like the financial expectations. Then you get to like the time expectations, right? Are you going to say hi to everybody? By the way, did you send people holiday cards?
Right.
Right.
And yeah, there's a lot of logistical things related to that. Time and energy put towards various family members, friends, coworkers, you know, the work parties. Some of us have either spouses or partners, whatever, who have work obligations, and am I expected to go or attend or be part of that? Can we go?
I'm going to one tonight.
Yeah. Does it conflict with does it conflict with a family outing, or does it conflict with the other partner's Christmas outing too? So there's just so much going on. How do we make it all work and make sure that not everybody's mad at us? And I think that's what I hear the most often from clients, and certainly what I know I experience too is, I'm not as worried about people being happy, I think, because I've been doing, like I say, I've been doing this a long time. But that doesn't mean that I still don't stress over how am I going to deal with the conflict that I know will probably come up as a result of it. Mm-hmm. Whereas for a lot of my clients, they're so worried about even having the conflict that that's kind of where we start, where I start working with them is, okay, let's talk about what's underneath the conflict.
So they're the kind of people, and I think like many of us, that they see this thing coming.
Yeah.
From a mile away, it's like, uh-oh, there's conflict waiting there.
That's right.
And it's just slowly every day stepping closer.
Yeah, it's the anxiety around the conflict. Mm-hmm. Because there's inevitably going to be conflict because somebody is going to be upset, frustrated, disappointed, whatever, with regard to...
You're choosing to spend your time with somebody versus someone else.
That's right.
I think that's hard.
Yep.
Because all of us kind of have maybe too many obligations, right? There's the expectation, and I don't know if it's like this in other societies. I don't know if you guys know this or not. You mentioned even like the work parties and different things like that, and it's just like, that is crazy to think about, right?
Wait till the kids are in school and you have the school parties as well, and more than one child. Yeah.
The school parties, the block parties. Mm-hmm. Like, we got neighbors that put on a holiday party,
right,
too. It's a neighborhood holiday party. And you're like, wow, it is. Like, all of a sudden, the house is getting neglected because I don't got time to clean it anymore.
Right.
And you really have to start to prioritize. And I love what Pete said, a good place to start is to kind of check with, where is your heart? What do you really want to do? And maybe even, you know, I get ahead of it. I'm an A-type, so I'm always planning. I plan many months ahead of time, and I have things structured so that I'm able to meet as many of those expectations as I can within reason. I don't want to hit 3 or 4 houses in one day with all of the kids. You know, my daughter got married, and her husband has a huge Catholic family. So we've moved our Christmas Eve, which was devastating the first year, to not have it at my house. That was something, an expectation on my part. So I'm like, it doesn't matter what day it is. Let's do it on another day. So now we're able to kind of, you know, negotiate some of those things to accommodate new people coming into the family and consider that that's a high value to them, or rotate years. There are a lot of solutions to these things that you can get under. And I think the biggest thing is to have those conversations ahead of time, to preface it, to kind of let people know, Grandma, we're not going to make it this year. Mom, we're keeping the budget at 50. My husband's family is huge, and so they actually take numbers, and it's a $50 gift. And you play games, and you get a gift like that, male and female presents.
Draw numbers for who's going to buy gifts.
Yes, and say, that's wonderful when you've got 50, 100 people. It's great.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys know about this. I have a massive family. As far as like even going from cousins, but also just brothers, sisters to step siblings and people that are kind of like step siblings and everything, it's really expansive. So like, we'll do that too. Like, we decided that, okay, we're not gonna buy gifts for, you know, all the grandbabies or anything like that. Instead, we're going to take them on an outing, and we're all going to go on an outing together.
That's
what we're going to do. That's going to be the gift for them. You know, that way we're all spending time together, and, you know, it's focused on them. Wow, that's awesome. Like, all of a sudden, that saves money. It saves time. We're going to do that after Christmas, right? So it's like, all right, I don't have this huge thing that's going on during the holidays with that. And it's nice because I think if people are on the same page with us, right, we do the hat drawing thing even for my siblings, right? Because $20 per person, that can add up pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, if, you know, $50 per person, that adds up really quick. And it's a lot easier just to be like, all right, we're just going to buy one present for this person, and we're going to do the drawings. And that's the only thing you have to be responsible for. I don't know if it's like that for you guys, especially I hate wrapping gifts. That's stressful in itself.
Well, I think it's just nice that it's about the experience, you know, that shared. I think at the end of the day, everybody wants the connection. Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking for. You know, just having that experience of it was so good to see you and what's going on in your life, and like having those traditional foods and those meals and some of those things that we all look forward to at that time of the year, focusing on what is working and what is possible instead of really focusing your energy on all the disappointments and things we don't like, or that didn't go well, or the kids are crying, or it's too hot at grandma's, or whatever all the dilemmas are through the day. And that's what you can kind of see in family dynamics when clients come in to, you know, talk to me about it. They're like, oh, well, but if we upset grandma, there's hell to pay, you know, mm-hmm. or if my mother doesn't have what she needs, then we're all going to be shunned. You know, there's that terrible fear of that family system, kind of getting back to that and saying, I'm still a part of the family. That's huge when you're looking at mental health issues, anxiety, depression.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember whenever we used to have this all the time, we go to our grandparents and you still had like the kid table. Mm-hmm. Big deal whenever you moved away from the kid table.
Yeah.
So come like Christmas time, whenever everybody's there, even like extended family, or even like you bring your spouse there or anything, and it's like, uh-oh, we need to make sure that we get down there so we aren't sat at the kid table, right? But you're right. It is like that expectation piece. You're expected to show up different places. And my wife's family is very different than mine. They are a lot smaller. So all of a sudden, the expectation to show up and be there cranked up, right? If you're not there, everybody notices, right? Whereas if you are there, you're a much bigger part of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys ever have that experience too, like where if there's a smaller family, or if you guys have clients that have that experience too, like the expectation just goes up tremendously.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You talked a minute ago about, you know, step-siblings and kind of step-siblings and that. And mm-hmm. I was thinking about how much more prevalent these days the combined, mixed, or extended family is because of divorce, remarriage, and things like that. For instance, you know, my son's mom and I split many years ago, and then my son got married a few years ago, and his spouse, her parents are split. So they have four families, essentially, in yeah. some respects, that they have to navigate. And so we've had to learn how to manage our expectations and our how we spend time with him and his wife, and what time may be available for them, because we're taking into consideration that they have so many other families that they want to visit and spend time mm-hmm. with, and how all of the logistics for that may or may not play out depending on whether some of them come in town or they don't come in town and things like that. And that's what I hear a lot from clients, I think, more often these days, is the nature of the family structure is so different and so commonly different that so many people have a lot of family that they need to see. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot higher than it was when many of us were growing up. It wasn't as prevalent, shall we say.
Well, and if you get people are traveling in from out of town or anything,
that's right. The expectation goes up.
Oh, yeah.
If people are in from, hey, we travel all the way, you got to make sure you see Uncle Johnny or, you know, Aunt Susie or whatever, because they came a long way. And if you don't make it, they're really going to be disappointed.
Like, oh, okay, I love the guilt trips.
Passive-aggressive, guilt, shunning, these are all
guilt,
the behaviors.
The guilt is the gift that keeps on giving.
It sure does. Oh, yeah. And so a lot of these things can even be the root of the underpinnings of our clients that have these issues anyway with daily stressors. So you're looking at it becomes, you know, the daily stressors, then the added obligation, and then it just keeps mounting on these people at this time of the year. So this is the busiest season for us as therapists. You know, I haven't seen people in 6 months. They're like, oh, the holidays are here. What are we going to do? We got to get in. Yeah.
Well, not only that, like if you have not seen family for a little bit,
right?
what are they asking you? Oh, how are things going? What's your career like? You know, what's your relationship like? Mm-hmm. You know, so they're asking you a lot of very personal things, and it's really hard to navigate that, especially if things are really rough. I mean, you guys know I work with couples, so this is a common conversation that we end up having is how can they make sure that they stay on the same page and they aren't, you know, cornered or anything like right. that and divulging different information that they might not want to, which is more common than you might think. And I talked to them about, like, hey, you guys get to have your own couple breaks, like where you guys can leave and go into a different room just together or whatever that may look like. And I always tell them, I think as therapy is becoming more and more accepted, I get a lot of clients that will actually tell their family that they're in couples therapy or whatever like that, or marriage counseling, and which is awesome because whenever they do, I tell them, you go throw me under the bus. Yeah. Tell them that my therapist wants to make sure I'm getting a heart rate reading on me every, you know, every hour or so. Like that. So like that way they have an excuse to go away, check on each other. And just to be able to have that constant line of communication with the person that you have to be with more often than Aunt Susie that's flying in from out of town or anything like that.
It's a good way to disengage that triangulation where you have the two and then somebody comes in the third wheel and blows it for the couple.
Well, I'm sure that you guys have family members just like most people do that are really nosy and they are really persistent at trying to find out information, mm-hmm. especially really personal.
Oh, I hear they're having trouble, you know, and people are looking, oh, good gossip. My family's Italian, so it's like each interaction is like that. Guess what's happening to this cousin and that cousin? Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Well, and a lot of what I'll hear, similar to what you were saying, Nicole, too, is so early on in therapy, sometimes what people will do is they'll disengage to some extent from their family. They'll pull back a little bit from those relationships to get a little distance and work on some of their childhood issues or their family of origin
stuff.
Like
that's the reason that they pulled away.
Yeah, there's a reason they pull away so they can kind of get some space and work through it and get some perspective so they can at some point maybe reconnect with their family in a healthier way. And so this may be the first time they're putting themselves back into that situation with the family. And there's a lot of anxiety that will come up about, okay, so I haven't seen, you know, mom, dad, or sister, or brother, whoever. I haven't been with the family very much. And I'm really worried that I'm going to fall back into my old patterns. I'm really worried that I'm going to just go back and start doing the same thing and let so-and-so run all mm-hmm. over me again. Or I'm going to not stand up for myself, whatever it may be. And so it can really be about helping clients develop strategies for self-care that prepare them for that and reminding them of the work that they've done and giving them perspective on, I can still be the person that I am and still love my family in a way that doesn't allow me to fall into the role that they're used to seeing me in, but I can still connect and love them and interact with them in a way that stays true to who I want to be now in the system as opposed to who they might want me to be.
Yeah, it's like consciously making an effort not to fall back into that same yes. place, which is hard.
It is.
Especially, I mean, even as you're talking about that, you know, I'm kind of sitting here thinking and I'm going into the spot where with some of the couples work that I do, a lot of the injuries that happen in couples with families happened around the holidays, right? Whenever families are together and stress is already up and someone gets drunk or somebody says something or they're really disrespectful or there's some type of miscommunication and that ends up stirring this whole thing inside the family unit. Then it's like every year we get reminded, hey, yeah, you remember during Thanksgiving or you remember during the holidays where, you know, all of this family got together and this happened with your mom, that happened with your dad, you know, your aunt said, you know, whatever that may be. And, it's like the constant reminder that ends up happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think one, increasing your awareness and preparing for what that might look like is really helpful. And also, I think it's helpful to set some boundaries ahead of time. like between you and your spouse, or know that that's going to be something that you're going to deal with. And so have a segue for yourself. If they try to put you in a situation, you can say, yeah, and you know, make a joke about it and move on. Try to shift. Try to keep shifting gears is kind of what we practice in session. I might be that aunt or uncle that, you know, was the active one that aggravated them during that holiday. And so they're able to say what they wanted to say, or to kind of, you know, put that under the bridge, so to speak.
Which is still that hard space, right? That's even that like hard space that Pete was talking about, like the not falling back into the old habits. Like, oh, that's just how, you know, uncle soever, whoever is. Well, your spouse is over there like, no one's going to talk to me like that or anything. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm. gosh, just, you know, it creates that tension and that animosity that really kind of starts up that any time that you know that you're going to be around that person, which is the holidays, it really starts to start that piece up. Another part that I know that we wanted to talk about was this could be the anniversary or the first time that we celebrate anything whenever we lose somebody, right? And I think that this happens, I know for me personally, that it happened last year the first time my grandma had passed away. And then years before that, you know, whenever we end up losing like a grandparent, parent, great-grandparent, or even just brother, sister, uncle, aunt, or anything like that, all of a sudden their presence is felt, the absence of it is felt the most during these times of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's a reoccurring thing.
Absolutely. It is probably, I think, next to the general expectations, that is probably the second biggest thing that really will trouble clients that I work with, is that, like you said, either the anniversary or the first time of being around the family with this person gone. And so a lot of times what I'll encourage them to do in whatever way they're able, either, you know, individually as a client, or if they can and get the family to rally around something like this, is creating some form of ritual of remembrance. That is a way to pay respect and honor. Sometimes some families, you know, if the person was somebody who contributed something to the holidays in whatever way it was, humor, food, gifts, something that person did for, you know, other family members, to take up that tradition for that year and find a way to bring it forward in whatever way works for them. So sometimes it's a family collaborative thing. Sometimes one person will take it on. I've heard of people taking, you know, grandma's recipes, and each family picks one dish, and they each bring one of the dishes that she made. Something like that. I mean, there's so many different ways, but it's
a way to remember and honor them.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way to bring that person forward, and then really intentionally, again, as the family is capable, because in some cases, there are some family members who may not be ready for it. So it's mm-hmm. about trying to navigate that piece, but creating a ritual that carves some time out to say, hey, let's remember, you know, grandma, grandpa, Uncle John, whoever, and really talk about it, you know, just to say, I remember the way he or she used to do this or used to do that, or the jokes they used to tell. I remember several Christmases ago when they used to, and then there's laughter and all. It, similar to what we do, you know, sometimes at the immediate loss. Just kind of bringing something like that back around is a wonderful way to pay tribute.
Well, it's better than the other option, right? The other option is to ignore that this loss has occurred.
That's right.
And to have the feelings and everything bubble up and then push them back down.
Right.
Which means that the holidays are going to be not as enjoyable. The party is not going to be there.
Right. Because it's felt, whether people want to talk about it or not, it's felt.
And I think it's healthier, you know, when you talk about ritual, that's one of the most significant things to do. And a lot of times, depending on the culture that you come from or your spiritual background that you have, incorporating that along with recipes or having a moment of silence or prayer for that person or honoring and having those stories is a good way for even the family members that aren't quite comfortable. They could come and go depending on which component of that they're willing to engage in. That way, everybody has an opportunity. And if you're uncomfortable, you can just disengage from that piece. So I think that's really pivotal when you're talking about grief. That's really near and dear to my heart. Last year, we lost my aunt and my father within a month. So I had three compounding losses like right before Christmas. So this will be my first Christmas too. So while I am a grief therapist and I practice this, you know, it's really important to remember that it's a personal experience for every person that's grieving. And while, you know, the first year, you know, medically, when we want to think about it, is almost like psychological shock. It's kind of disbelief. Mm-hmm. By the second or third year is really when people start to feel that and it manifests more. Mm-hmm. So I'll be more curious to see what it looks like next year than this year, particularly in my family.
Yeah, that's such a therapist thing to say. I'll be more curious to see how it's affecting me. But I think that I believe that that's probably one of the, like, if you've had a loss, I would imagine that's probably one of the larger stressors.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, we could always manage the, like, having to get gifts or go to different places. But even if you choose to do none of that, go see family, if you choose to stay home, not participate in any of those things, it's still the time of the year where everyone's talking about remembering people, everyone's talking about gathering, and you still get hit with that loss.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of like a silent predator a lot of times, which I think is why it's so wonderful, the idea of a ritual or being able to be free to know that everyone's dealing with it in their own way. And sometimes bringing light to that rather than kind of repressing it or feeling like you're the only one that's dealing with it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of something else too right there. This is also a big time of the year for people that have lost, you know, if they've had different miscarriages, right, is a huge blow whenever they've had this in the first Christmas, the first holidays, especially if there's other very young children in the family.
Oh, yeah.
And people might not always bring it up, but you can kind of tell. And I just caution you to watch out for those kind of people, because that's kind of like the silent grief that, you know, it's like people don't really know how to address or anything like that.
I think people minimize it, too, because it's so early on. But for a woman that's experiencing that, I think, you know, there's that hope of the future and that planning for that baby, maybe having the nursery already done when something like that happens, working with a lot of clients that have had tremendous loss. There are a couple things that I'll tell them to think about. I want them to drive separately so that they can leave or disengage, have a strategy and exit plan like Pete talked about earlier. And really just think about creative ways to navigate having those conversations with whom they feel comfortable. Maybe they don't want to talk about that in front of the uncles. Perhaps one of the aunts or some of the women in the other room might want to have a little bit of a moment to discuss that. So picking and choosing and letting them navigate and be in control and feel empowered to talk about and process that, I think, you know, check in. If there's other people around, notice those people that might be grieving or hurting or they had a difficult year. I think that can be helpful.
Yeah, and will they want to talk about it? Maybe not, but acknowledging something is a big deal.
Yeah, I know you had a tough year this year, and just wanted to let you know I'm thinking about you, and we're so glad you're here today. You know, just belonging and having somebody feel welcome to be there and that we appreciate it. Might have been difficult for you to be here, but we're glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious, you guys. I don't know why whenever we were talking about that, I thought about that as kind of like, and I was like, this mind, these like silent hits that happen on Christmas or that happened during the holidays or that happened during Thanksgiving, I almost feel like is a bigger hit. Sometimes because I think it's a bigger hit in my family because there's more of an expectation for all the family to get together for Thanksgiving, whereas Christmas you can break off into other things as well. But I was wondering, can you think of any other kind of silent hits that people may not necessarily be aware of that happen to people during this time?
I'm thinking for those who maybe don't have family, people who don't have others to gather with, that this can be, I mean, it's just sad to say.
Or like estranged from their family.
Yeah, but the reality is this is also a time of year when suicide rates go up.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with some of the things we're talking about, that depression and mental illness and some of the more chronic kinds of challenges that people may experience can flare up and put people into a tailspin. But in particular, loneliness is a huge issue in our country right now, and it's one of the silent predators, just in general, but in particular on the holidays. Those people who do not have immediate family, maybe family has already passed, most of them passed, people have moved away, or for whatever reason, due to circumstances, relocation, whatever, people are just in a situation where they don't have family to go to. So being aware of those of us, those we have in our lives, or those people we might know who may not have somewhere to go, and just, you know, tuning into that and being aware if there's some way we can be supportive of them, some resources. Some people do family of choice in addition to family of origin as a means to get together, and they have these other kinds of gatherings for either for themselves and other friends who are in a similar situation, or to create an opening for something like that.
You wonder if that's why there's maybe so many work holiday parties or neighborhood holiday parties. Or I was just thinking of a friend that told me the other day, I was trying to set up time to get together and see him. I haven't seen him in a while. They're like, oh, like, can't do that day. We'll have to look at a different day because I'm doing a Friendsgiving. And I was like, oh, and I don't know. That just struck me whenever you said that is like, maybe our society has found little ways of trying to address that, but it's still such a large portion of our population that really gets missed out on this.
Yeah, it is. And so I think it's probably one of the bigger, like I said, silent predators, to coin your term, that is out there that, you know, there are a lot of people who are struggling financially, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, at this time of year, and it becomes more foreboding and more depressing or more difficult for them because they're seeing all of what's going on in our society at large and maybe feeling left out or not a part of it or not able to participate due to their circumstances, or maybe due to their circumstances and their own internal struggles, they're struggling with how do I reach through that, how do I break through my own inner voices, turmoil, anxieties, whatever it is, to become a part of something, because I'm really not feeling as connected or not feeling a part of the way I'd like to.
And that's why you see during the holidays the bars are full on almost every holiday. It's so fascinating to me to see that.
I thought they just had better liquor during that time of year.
It's a top shelf stuff. You know, the bartenders that I've talked to, you know, they're like, we're the therapists for these people that feel disconnected or disenfranchised, or their families are lost, or they feel like the black sheep of the family, or my veterans that have military and they've come back and they're not reacclimating to civilian life yet, and now they're hit with the holidays and they're supposed to come back and be okay, and they're not. And I think that's really important when you think of these high suicide rates. And so finding ways to honor them and have them be a part of things is really great. I know growing up, my mother and I traveled quite a bit, and so we would always have other kinds of parties with different people, different walks of life. And so one of the traditions that I've kind of done is dessert around the world with, like, just people that are don't have families here. Like, I know neighbors or have friends or have met people over the years, and so we'll do that. And I think that's a really cool thing. And so they can bring their cultural thing or their family recipe, and we sit around and drink and, you know, have desserts and things like that. And that's a nice way for people to connect and feel a part of things. There's something for everybody in the community if we can get those resources out to our clients and let other people know. There's some hobby or some connection.
I think, too, another thing, let me just hear you guys talk about suicide in particularly. During the holidays, and I know that there's a lot of contributing factors to this, and social media is a big one. But not only that, but the music, the atmosphere, right? It's this projection of happiness. And if you're not feeling happy, there's something wrong with you because it's 'tis the season, right? And I think that that becomes so in your face that I'm always in awe at people during this time of the year whenever they can say that this is rough, this is a tough time, and, like, I don't feel like singing Christmas carols or whatever.
I'm not feeling it.
Or, you know,
what?
Whenever those holiday songs come on, I'm changing the channel, which I understand. I'm like that all the time, whether or not I'm happy or sad. Right? But the idea that some people are able to be so raw and so open about that during a time like this, I think is something to be really treasured, because there is such an expectation placed on, such a societal expectation that we should all be happy this year. happy during this time of the year because of how abundant everything is. You're in this, you know, you're in this great country. We're really wealthy. People are getting gifts. People are all happy. They're celebrating. There's music. They're decorating, like, the, you know, the city lights are being decorated. People are putting, you know, lights on their houses and everything. And you know what? It's just not like that for a lot of people, mm-hmm. right? It's almost like this kind of false front that gets put on. And whenever people are able to acknowledge it, I think a lot of people can relate to that, right? It's a really stressful time of the year. It's really hard for a lot of people. And we're kind of told just to kind of put a mask on it and to continue and show that you're happy whenever that's not really the case. So we've talked a little bit about this. We've sprinkled a little bit of it on as we've been talking about this, ways that you can, or we address it, but I want to kind of make it really concrete right now. So can you guys talk to me about different strategies that you guys, or what would be like the number one strategy that you guys would recommend, like the tippy top that has helped you guys personally during the holidays?
The first one that comes to mind for me when you say the tippy top, the number one is gratitude. Cultivating gratitude, especially this time of year, I think it's, I'm working much harder to make it a more regular part of daily practice and daily living. I've gotten a lot better at it, but in particular at this time of year, because of all of the things we've talked about, it is about gratitude and generosity. So being grateful for what I have and trying to put that into perspective, into the really basic things: health, roof over my head, food on my table, good people in my life, you know, the things that oftentimes we take for granted. And then how can I share what little I have, or what, you know, resources I have, with someone else maybe who's not, or who's struggling, as you were just saying, mm-hmm. to be grateful. Those two things alone can not only rewire the brain differently, but they have a tremendous impact on our feeling of connection and our feeling of being part of something bigger than ourselves. And I think those are really key to, in some ironic way, what the spirit of the holidays are supposed to be about. But when we embody them and act on them, I think, I know that I feel better. And a lot of this other stuff tends to roll off a little mm-hmm. easier, because I'm focused on the things that are the most important. And I'm focused on what I have rather than what I should have, or what other people might want, or expectations. And I'm also not keeping it to myself, but trying to help other people to feel a little bit better in their lives in some way. Whatever way that I can, whether it's spending time with people, buying some, you know, inexpensive gifts, but more than anything, I think just spending time and having conversation with people who may not be having such a good time, being open to it, looking for it. Oh, so-and-so there, they look like they're having a really rough time. Can I just spend 5-10 minutes or a half hour having a conversation with, going out to lunch or something like that?
That's a good one.
I love that, Pete. Gratitude, I'm torn because my heart is gratitude. Attitude of gratitude is my little catchphrase, and I love giving back to others. Certainly that one is a little bit selfish because I am addicted. That feels good for me, but I love to be with other people in that connection. I think that's what we're longing for. But the practical A-type, or the cognitive part of me, is just as strong. And so I would say I plan and strategize to have a plan A, B, and C for different things mm-hmm. to kind of get ahead of those expectations, that perfectionism, that, you know, what can we expect? So when people are coming to my home for Christmas, or my kids, you know, I want to have some kind of framework, but some flexibility to say, okay, honey, well, let's negotiate that. You know, when we're thinking yeah. about specifics or gifts or money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Like, well, those are next on my list. Yeah, they are.
The top three are really important.
The practical things, and, you know, from a mm-hmm. practical perspective, as far as what I do, it's, I start with, what do I want? What do I need? Me personally, and then extend out to my wife and our immediate family, as far as what we want, what we need, what makes sense for how much energy and time that we feel like we can spend without being overspent. And look at the calendar as far as the things that are going on, and manage the logistics and the time and energy. And something that we both have alluded to and touched on is having practical strategies for exit.
Yes.
My wife and I have two different kinds of energies. She's a little bit more of a, she's not as much of a late night person like I am. She's more of an introvert than I am. So sometimes we'll drive separately, depending on which family gathering or which social gathering we're going to, and where our energy is that day. Because we may have planned to go together, but then when the day comes, oh, I'm kind of tired, or I'm not sure I'm going to be able to, well, let's drive separate. And it works out really well. She can leave when she wants. There's not a feeling of, can we go? I'm not, you know, we really try and work it out in a way that works well for us. And
I hope that you talk to my wife about that.
Okay.
The driving the separate.
I love that. We do that. My husband's an introvert. Yeah. He's not having it. And I want to stay and clean up and be the last one and take care of everything and be a helper. I have
really
to do
like
that.
I really like being the last one. I like being the last one.
And then you know, again, planning with other family members, the same thing. Here's what we can do. Here's what we can't do.
Right.
And
saying what you can
for
do.
Us. Yeah.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And I think when you're hosting, it's a different story because you know, there's a different expectation than when you're going to visit. So it's renegotiating how much are we willing to cook or not willing to cook? Do we have people bring dishes themselves? Do we want to, you know, cook everything? Do we want to invite people to come early to help cook? Or is this a solitary affair? All of those kinds of practical
things. How about food allergies? How about we celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas? How about, you know, there's so many challenges. Mm-hmm. So having all these conversations is really important when you think about people that maybe are left out too during the holidays. Another piece of that would be, you know, having lunch or quality time is nice, but even just stopping and having a kind word to somebody, even when you're in line at the store and you can see they're down or they're overwhelmed. You know, just checking in and being human and remembering that we're all getting through this and there's moments of happiness. Happiness is not a destination, it's moments. And so I think that's really important when you think about the holiday season and just connecting at a heart level, I think, is the key.
Yeah.
I think as I'm hearing you guys talk about this, I know I have very different experiences than you guys. I've always been very upfront with my family about the expectations that I have, and their expectations don't rank as high on my list. So, I mean, this comes up every year. We have a lot of family to get to in a lot of different places. And I'm like, hey, we got a lot of places to get to. We're not going to get to all of them. Like, isn't that I don't care about you guys, but there is a certain priority I have. The priority I have is the immediate family. The extended family comes second. Like, that's just the way that it is during this time of the year. And my family's always been really receptive to that, and that's just because of how my family is. We, like I said, we've always had a large family, so we never had it to where, like, you can make everything, right? You just can't. And like I said, my wife comes from a very different background, right? So that was a big adaptation I had, is kind of assuming, like, assuming the same kind of conversations you guys are talking about is like, all right, what we're going to do, what we're going to plan ahead of time. Like I said, I think we were talking before we started recording this, Thanksgiving was a great example of that, whereas we're like, all right, well, we're going to have my dad's family over to our house for breakfast on Thanksgiving. Then we do that, and then, all right, then we're going to go over to her family's. And then the week before that, before Thanksgiving, we actually had Thanksgiving at my mom's whole extended family. So we had basically two different days of Thanksgiving, and we were able to hit all the kind of like the main highlights, right? I was able to hit my mom's family, my dad's family, and then my wife's family, right? So all the most immediate family we were able to hit. And then the other things, if they don't fall into place, no big deal, right? Like, I couldn't see like my extended family on the Faust side, right? That's okay. It didn't work out, right?
It's not personal, is what I hear you saying repeatedly, and that's what's hard for families, is everyone, not everyone, many people feel as if it's personal, like you're not picking me, you're picking someone else. And I think differentiating that and letting them know ahead of time really helps navigate that.
What I do, so because that doesn't rank as high, that's like not my tippy top. Right, my tippy top thing for surviving the holidays is actually goes along with line with something that you said earlier, Pete, is that whenever I go to these events, I hyper focus on a couple people that I'm going to talk to. Like, I kind of already know off the top of my head, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody. So if it's someone I don't really talk to as much or anything like that, I'm going to lock on to you and I'm going to talk to you, especially if you're trying to be away from everybody else. Like, I'm gonna do, like, that's like the therapist in you, right? Like, I'm like a homing missile. I go and find them, and it's like, all right, you talk to them and engage them and try to figure out what's happening and what's going on in their life, and they ask you, and you have that nice exchange, and it becomes nice because then I don't end up getting sucked into like the larger mess of things that's going on. And it's a lot more comfortable for me just to be able to talk to one or two people rather than like join like group conversations or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways that I end up managing it is like whenever I'm around a lot of people or family, I'll hone in on a couple people and I'll focus a lot of my time and energy on building a relationship with them. Right. That way next year, come around that time, I can either continue that or I can go and find someone else. Mm-hmm. Right. And it creates a sense in me that I get to know a lot of people, because I feel like sometimes, I don't know if you guys get this, there's just so much going on that if I don't narrow my focus on what it is I want to do and just spending time with people, then I just get overwhelmed. Right? There's just too much to do, too many people to talk right. to, too much to catch up on. So that's kind of like my own little way, is I try to pick out a couple of people.
Having a meaningful really conversation mm-hmm. and quality time, even if it's for a short period of time, I think is really profound during the holidays. I think people need mm-hmm. that. I think that's what we're missing. That's what we're all wanting.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you targeted it. I think it's great. Very yeah. strategic.
Yeah, and if I can, one of the themes that I'm hearing that we're talking about, which is, I think, fundamentally what we all encourage our clients to do and try and do for ourselves, is setting limits and boundaries. You know, in each of the ways that we've talked about today, we've talked about setting limits and boundaries in a way that works for us, works for our families, works for, you know, whoever, but limits around financial, emotional, time spent, energy, all of those things in a way that works for us. And then the other thing we've kind of touched on in different ways, I think, as well, is self-care. Finding time and ways to create some self-care. I think sometimes we forget, we get so busy, there's so much going on. Mm-hmm. Are we going to take time, or is it going to feel like, well, I was off work, but I spent every day doing something? So setting a boundary or a limit that I'm going to have one day or 2 days where it's just going to be devoted to this particular individual or these people, or it's a chance for me personally, individually, to recharge a little bit, so that when I go back to work or get back into the regular routine and everything's done, I don't feel like I've just blown through my whole holiday and I didn't get any time to recharge. And now I'm back to the grind and I don't feel like I got anything from it. I just gave energy away.
In fact, you might feel even more drained.
That's right.
Right.
So I think it's really important as part of that setting boundaries to what I encourage all my clients to do. And again, for myself, is to try and have at least some time compartmentalized for just me, and then for me and my wife to connect and just have our time together. That's just the two of us, and that we have a chance to do our own private celebration that's just about us and our relationship and the family we're creating and the direction we're going in our lives and all of that. Having that, and then the individual, and creating space for each of us to have that for ourselves as well. I think that's also really important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that the expectations around your self-care and knowing that you're not going to be able to get everything done.
Yeah.
Like, giving yourself permission. While you're listening to this, say that to yourself 2 or 3 times. During this time of the year, even whenever I'm off, I'm not going to be able to get all the things done that I want to get done.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? Say that to yourself. 3 or 4 times, just right there. Like, it's okay. Nobody gets everything that they want to get done around this time of the year.
That's it.
Right? We always assume that future self is going to have the energy and the organization and the motivation that that current self doesn't have. It's just not how it works.
Yeah, be realistic.
And, yeah, and like you said, I think we also assume that everybody else is getting it all done. Everybody else is getting it done, and they're doing it perfectly, mm-hmm. and that's just not true. So I love that. Give ourselves permission. I'm not going to get it all done. And like we were saying earlier too, not everybody's going to be happy. Mm-hmm. And being okay with that and realizing that it doesn't diminish our love for other people, doesn't diminish our intent or our desire to do the most that we can, to love them as best we can and spend as much time we can. It just means that we're human, and acknowledging that humanity in all of us, that mm-hmm. there are limitations.
Yeah. And our limitations are actually something that we should celebrate.
Exactly.
If not, then there's not much difference in us between us and the machines, right?
Right.
But not only that, these limitations allow us to cherish these moments that we're able to have, mm-hmm. right? If the expectation is that we got to get everything done, then, you know, those little conversations, those little connections we have actually become less meaningful, because then we should be able to do that with everybody.
That's right.
It's just not the case. Right. So what that means is your house can be dirty over the holidays. Right.
No.
And if you don't clean it all, like on the first night, it's OK. You'll get to it. Right. That's typical. It's hard.
Yeah. And it's OK to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that, Pete. That's a big one.
It is a big one.
Nicole's like, I'm going to ask my family.
I'm learning. It's been very difficult for me to ask for help because I was, you know, that was the tradition. The women are supposed to do all of that. And it's like, well, but my grandma didn't work full time and, right? So looking at that and saying, hey, would you be willing to help with this? Looking at people's gifts and skills, it's a privilege when somebody asks you to be a part of something and help. So sometimes that's a benefit to the person that you're asking help. Yeah. So we want to look for a win-win in situations. And two takeaways from the holidays when I think of all of this would be that meaningful connection. Mm-hmm. That's what we all really want. And to have the gratitude. I think that is really the key to all of it. If we could focus on those few things at a root level, all this other stuff is not as important as we think. We get hung up in it, but I don't think that's the main piece.
Well, and if you can't tell whether or not you're getting stressed out or not, don't most people have like a, you know, they have like things like me, like a Fitbits or the heart rate monitors on their smart rocks or, right? Or I think sometimes even our phones can track different things like that. Ask yourself, like, hey, are things overwhelming right now? And if that's the case, great. Go to the bathroom, stand there for like 2 minutes and see if like it feels a little better in there. Then you kind of know, right? You get that little slice of, okay, things are a little intense for me right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to think about like wrapping it up or anything like that, right? I know that whenever my wife turns to me and she's like, hey, like we need to get going here pretty soon, I know that she's getting overwhelmed. And,
right.
And that's okay. I'm going to see my family again next year. Right? Or I'm going to try to see my family again next year. If I don't, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell them, hey, I really enjoyed spending this time with you. We should set up some time to get together again. Mm-hmm. And that creates an opportunity that you do not have to be limited by the very narrow amount of time that you get during the holidays.
I love that. That's huge. Checking in with yourself and with your partner or other people during the holidays is key. Really monitoring yourself and your children. Children are stressed out. They feel overwhelmed. They feel pulled. Their schedules are a mess. They're eating strange food they don't normally eat. Let's try to accommodate and model and mirror what we want for our children that we don't create more of what we don't want in our life.
Definitely.
I think that's pivotal.
And everyone's not going to jump up and down and be excited over gifts. We're not all that way.
And we all don't love the same gift we get every year.
That's right. I don't know if you guys ever have that. You guys have that family member that's like just super excited about things. I'm not like that at all.
So really? Like, I'm so surprised.
Yeah. Me too, Craig.
So people are like, oh, did you like that at all? Well, yeah, it's great. Like, I'll be able to use it and everything. They're like, great, he hated it. It's like, no. No, I did like it. I just, you know, I'm not going to jump
You're
up
not
down
that
on the
excitable.
Coffee table. No, I'm not. I'm not. The holidays are really tough, right? Take away from this, holidays are really tough. Try different ways of preparing yourself for it. If you're like me and you just are ignorantly bliss, it's going to broadside you every time, right? So try to come up with some type of plan, right? Know your own tolerance and ease up on some of those expectations. You can only do the best that you can. Right. And if it feels like that you're not going to be able to get all the things that you want to get done during the holidays, join the club. Right. It's a Facebook group. It's all of us. Right. And if you find some people that you want to talk to, you don't have to wait for the holidays to reach out to them. Right. You don't have to wait for that. So I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode. I know this is something that's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. I don't even think we were actually planning on talking about this today. I think Nicole just brought it up. And it really hits home with a lot of people. So I hope that you guys find this episode helpful. I want to thank you guys for joining us. And I look forward to talking to you guys next time.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information. And those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. The music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.